corporate homie.
Tis the season to give or to receive.
Holiday gift giving.
I actually do not really send holiday cards.
That is offensive. Stop that.
Nobody ever felt special because they got an electronic card.
No one appreciates that. That's useless.
This is not the time to get drunk.
You at your mama's house in Alabama, working from home, drinking sweet tea.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie, Happy New Year.
Resultsville. I've given myself too much credit.
A group of my girlfriends and I, with copious amounts of wine.
So a little different than the friendship contract on the house of Atlanta.
Nice girls don't get the corner office.
I think the homies are well on their way.
Matter when you're actually listening to this podcast, because it can always be your new year. And so that's what today's episode is about. New year, new you. And while we are recording this around the end of the year, you can implement the tips we're going to talk about in today's show at any time.
Beginning of the month, beginning of the quarter, anything that gets you to where? Resultsville.
Resultsville. Or as my big mama would say, just because it's Tuesday, you can actually start on Tuesday, your new year. Today, we're going to talk about getting results and how you actually set out your year. And I wasn't kidding about that. You will find that in your organization, sometimes your year is not a calendar year. Your year is July 1 to June 30th or October 1 to September 30th or something like that. And so your year is starting however it starts for you. But the one thing that is important is that you actually have mapped out a plan to get to results.
And that's a great point about being, Demetra, being able to do this at any time. I think about when we were playing sports and you would come up with preseason and goals that you wanted to get done for the season. And then you'd have some type of break, whether that be holiday break in basketball or fall break in volleyball. And you look back and see, hey, where are we relative to where we wanted to be? And how do we need to adjust as a team to get there? And then the season would end and you're trying to reset yourself and reset as a team and as an individual for the playoffs or the NCAA tournament. And so our careers are very much like that. There might be times at the quarter we have to adjust, or a new month or a new boss comes in, or our division head changes and the organization's goals have changed, and we need to be able to adjust, but reset priorities and still be able to execute.
Yeah, that's a great point. So Bimitra and I both went to college on athletic scholarship. So I played volleyball in college. Bimitra played basketball. We played all kinds of sports when we were growing up. And so we have learned competition and, more importantly, the importance of results and the importance of putting points on the board, the importance of getting a W. And so have now tried to implement that in corporate America.
And in corporate America, we track points as revenue.
That's right. So that is something else when we say results, Phil. There is nothing more important in your organization than understanding how you add to the bottom line or what your job goal, what in your job is the W. And so that should be the first thing you're keeping in mind as you start to map out your plan. So before you map out your plan, I think that the first thing you have to do is reflect and assess where you've been. So before you decide what you want to accomplish in the new year, you need to figure out, did you get anything done last year? And what did you get done? Like, what went well? So for me, I always make sure that I take the proper time to reflect and assess and to figure that out. One of the things I like to do, and it's part of the reason why I keep my to-do list and task list and all of that on paper, is that I can easily take my planner and look back over the year and see what kind of things that I actually got done.
That's a fantastic point. I actually do the exact same thing. I pick staycation time. Basically, I still think that I'm in college. And for me, that time to reflect is always the week between Christmas and New Year's. And I use that as an opportunity to say, hey, what went well? What could we have done better? What can we do more of? And I use that exact same time. Typically takes me about 48 hours to really do a deep dive and to get it done in an effective way.
And I do the same thing. I carve out some time. Mine is always in January. I attend a business development that is only for women that's hosted by Sarah Holtz. If you're listening, hey, Sarah. And we go to Arizona every January. And then I stay a day or two after that conference because I'm usually completely fired up after having spent a couple of days with some really amazing women that I admire and are fellow homies. And so I'm usually very energized. And so I use that weekend in January to then reflect on what has happened. And then more importantly, start getting prepared for a productive new year.
And speaking of reflection, every year it never fails. I look at what I've gotten done, you know, from a revenue standpoint or, you know, sales goal or however you want to, billable hours, however you want to look at it. And it's not always quite the way I thought that the business came in. I find that sometimes I've given myself too much credit. I thought like, I killed it this year. I was out, I was doing my thing, I was networking. And I'll look back and say, you know what? I took this CPA to lunch 3 times. I invited them to the suite at the game. They didn't send me one quality referral. And then I have to sit down and say, okay, did I do a bad job of sharing with them what a quality referral looks like? Or are they really best friends with the banker over at PNC and they're just not going to send me anything because I'm Facebook friends with them and I see they're always on the golf course with that guy. Maybe I shouldn't have invited that person to as much stuff. So it's also an opportunity to see where is the business coming from, you know, and Demetri, in your world, that looks like, am I spending time with, if I'm an associate with a partner and they're not putting me on their cases or they're putting me on the smaller things that don't allow me, it's not as complex and allow me to grow. But it's an opportunity to look at that and in that granular detail so that you can use that of how you want to map out your next year and who you're spending time with and how you're getting business.
Yeah, I think that is exactly right. I definitely do that. And then I also think about what kind of efforts did I put in learning how to do this? Because I think the art of getting business and getting revenue, networking, it does not organically happen. That is a fail. That is a misconception. And so one of the things I think, like, did I read enough books this year outside of law? Like, did I read any books? And if so, why didn't I? Did I spend any time on the development of the Demetri brand? Because having my brand is equally important to being a successful, productive member of the firm. And so what did I do? You know, did I understand? Did I utilize opportunities that were made for me? Do I know the difference in how to navigate certain spaces, like that kind of thing. So I never want to ever underestimate the importance of studying yourself.
That's a great point, Demetri. I remember there was a radio show a few years ago between Coach Krzyzewski from Duke and Coach Summit, may she rest in peace, from the University of Tennessee. They were talking about running dynasty basketball programs. And one of the things that they have to work on with the kids is that people think that, as he used the phrase, pixie dust, that they're going to put the jerseys on and all of a sudden championships are going to happen because they're at Duke. And they have to take these really super talented kids and teach them how to continue in a championship legacy program so that it's ongoing. And I think our careers are the same way. If you're not working on your craft and not just reading legal books, I like to read leadership and motivational books. So I read a lot of biographies on coaches, politicians, successful business people. I tend to be drawn to women business leaders because, you know, that's who I am. And I find that learning what those folks are doing, the things that they've done, the tools that they implement, I can take that and put that into my own universe and what I'm trying to achieve as a homie in corporate America.
I could not agree with that more. I mean, I think we both have been avid readers. Some of that I think came from playing from sports, having a lot of downtime growing up on buses, on vans, all
15 passenger vans.
Right. Because we didn't play, you know, Division I football at the University of Tennessee. So a lot of the times as a female athlete, you do not always travel first class. And so that is where I really started to learn to read. And I am just like Demetri. Like, I love to read not just on my industry, because that's fine. And I definitely do a lot of that. But my favorite thing as far as developing my plan is to read books about people who run the world. I'm a big fan of autobiographies or books about people's lives, like if that's Condoleezza Rice or Jack Welch or Oprah Winfrey, because what I find is that you will find that there are a lot of similarities with highly successful people.
And it also gives you an opportunity to share those books with your friends and your network, and then get an opportunity to get together and discuss those books. So it's a great networking tool as well.
And if you're looking for some books on leadership and things like that, we have a lot of recommendations for books that we have read that have helped us in our career. Like one of my favorites is Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. Always use the end of the year to read at least one book. And we have a lot of books that we like and have read, and they're in the Corporate Homie store if you go to the website. So in addition to trying to read a book and assess, you know, what I've done well, another thing I like to do is go ahead and map the year and start thinking about what I want to get done for the year. So for some people, that might be a vision board. It might be, for me, it's a business plan. I call it a business plan, but it's a plan for both my professional and personal life. I put everything on there from I want to, I don't know, make equity partner or make partner, to I want to lose 25 pounds this year, or I just want to get into a good workout routine, or I want to find more quality moments with family, which means I try to quantify that. Like I'm going to call or see a good friend at least twice a month. When I make my plan, it is actual quantifiable actions. And if you ever do a consulting with us, which we certainly offer, and you can sign up for those on the website, we give quantifiable things to do.
And I do the exact same thing. And just like as Demetra said, I map it out quantitatively. Even from a networking, I say, I want to join one new organization and I want to get to three of their events, or I want to get to one of their events each quarter. I will say, I want to go travel out of the country for fun. I want to get a new passport stamp, you know, somewhere I've never been before. I do the same thing. I want to get to Bible study this year on a weekly basis. And I find that if I don't map it out and I just say I want to go to Bible study, I won't ever get to Bible study. But if I say I'm going to get to Bible study a minimum of 2 times a month, every month. And then we talked about on one of the earlier podcasts is that accountability piece of going back and checking back in and seeing and keeping yourself honest that you're doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. And so accountability, though, isn't just, or at least I find, and some of this, you know, is so nice for us because we're twins. I think we naturally get an accountability partner, but I certainly would suggest that all of you get you a twin, get you another homie that can be an accountability. Don't be afraid. And then in addition to Bemitra, I have other women and friends in my life that I talk about my goals, that we share goals. A group of my girlfriends and I, the last couple of years, have gotten together with, you know, stacks of magazines, copious amounts of wine, and actually done vision boards. And I have my vision board in my closet. Mine is in my closet because I want to see it every day. And the one place I know that I'm going to go every single day is in my closet.
And I would say, you know, having accountability partners, it doesn't have to be the same person for each of your goals. So it could be a different spiritual accountability partner. It can be a different one for business. It can be a different one for your personal life. It can be a different one for your exercise life. It's not a one flavor fits all. You know, keep that in mind because you have different friends that have different interests and are good at different categories of their lives.
That's exactly right. Like Bemitra says, accountability can't just be one thing or one person. If I want to get to Bible study, she used that as an example, then the person I'm going to use as an accountability partner is this person. And it doesn't have to be like, hey girl, would you like to be my accountability partner? A lot of times it can come so much more organically than
that. So a little different than the friendship contract on the house of Atlanta.
What a friendship contract. I mean, maybe you and your friends do want it to be that formal, but I know for me and my crew, it's more like I already know who already said they wanted to go to Bible study. And so then I will just reach out to that person and say, hey girl, or hey, you know, you've been talking about wanting to go to Bible study. I've been talking about going to Bible study. I'm setting this as a goal for myself. Let me know if you want to come with.
I think one of the key components that we're talking about today, that's a little bit of an undertone that we should probably bring up to the surface, is this requires requires you to be vulnerable, because you're going to have to feel comfortable enough and be vulnerable to share with someone, because you can't have accountability alone, not necessarily. So you have to put yourself out there a little bit, and that's a little scary sometimes. But so you've got to be able to say, hey, I want to go to Bible study, or I'd like to lose weight. I notice it on Facebook, you check in 5 days a week. You know, I want to join the gym and start coming with you at 5:30 in the morning, or I want to text you when I get up to go to my gym at 5:30 in the morning. But it does require a certain degree of vulnerability in order for you to have a plan that you're executing on and that somebody else is helping you execute on, because they have to know what you're doing, what your goal is. And since it's quantifiable, they're going to know whether or not you've been successful or not.
And so to that end, the most important thing about your plan to get you to Resultsville is it has to be written. You have to actually write it down. And if you're like me, sometimes you don't want to write it down, because then it's going to be staring at you, reminding you that you didn't do it. But like Bemetra said, to have the accountability piece, you have to do that. Another thing I do for accountability is usually midway through my year in June. And I hate to keep pushing things back to the Sarah Holtz group, but it is how I really got into this very regimented way of keeping up. That same group of women who gets together in January, we usually get back together in June and do the check-in. Then you bring back that written business plan that you wrote for the year. You're now 6 months into it, and you start looking at checking off, have I gotten things done? And then it's also a time, like B said, to be agile and to pivot a little bit and understand that you might need to revise that. Because sometimes you said that you were going to lose, you know, 40 pounds in a year and you haven't lost any weight, or you haven't even started going to the gym. And so it's a time to just remind yourself what the goals are and then move forward in that way with them.
The beautiful part about all of this is each day you have a new opportunity to start over, to do it again. And the things that we're talking about are essentially the basics. So if you're listening to this right now and you happen to be listening to this and it's the middle of September, don't be a January person. Don't be a Monday person. Don't say, okay, that sounds amazing. And in 2017 or 2018, that's when I'm going to start that. Like, no, you can say, you know what? I'm going to start implementing these things on tomorrow. And you start developing your plan and putting it into action. We're calling this New Year, New Results. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, this can be done at any time. You have an opportunity each day to get it right.
And then the last thing I want to talk about after accountability is grace yourself. So a lot of times we write out amazing plans and then life happens to you. My mom always says, life is what happens to you when you are planning something else. So you have had this amazing plan. You sat down, you wrote it out. You had a plan. You were going to lose weight. You were going to Bible study every week. You were going to work out 3 days a week. And then your mom got sick, and or then you lost your job, or then your husband got demoted.
You got a new boss.
You got divorced. You got a new boss. Your company merged. There are a myriad of things that can jolt your plan. And when that happens, that's why the mid-year review is helpful. That's when you can pivot. But it's also okay to say, I said I was going to do this, but I actually wasn't able to do that. And that's okay. I'm still a homie. I'm still a corporate homie. I'm still a superstar. We're just going to rewrite the plan. We're going to retweak the plan and move forward. I feel like I would be completely remiss if I don't say that grace and gracing yourself and giving yourself some room for the plan to be flexible is extremely important.
Absolutely. Cannot stress that enough, because we are not perfect people and we're going to have some hiccups along the way. So we've gone over a lot of good stuff, and I think the homies are well on their way to
Resultsville. So just in wrap up, so when you want to get to Resultsville, you want to actually first reflect and assess on what you've gotten done in last year. Then two, prepare for a productive year by having a written plan or vision board that actually outlines what you want to get done. Three, find a way to have some accountability, whether it be another person or a check-in system for yourself sort of midway through the year, or accountability person that you're working the plan with all through the year. And then finally, give yourself some grace so that you can be flexible and allow the plan to be agile.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any questions or topics or feedback, we would love to hear from you. We can always be reached at the website, www.corporatehomie.com.
And if you do have questions or have a specific topic that you'd like to cover or just want to follow up on something that we said on today's broadcast or any broadcast, you can always reach us at questions@corporatehomie.com. You can reach us, of course, on all of social media. We are Corporate Homie on everything. That's one word. And Homie is H-O-M-I-E. And we're on all of them. Facebook, IG, LinkedIn, Twitter, Periscope, all that good stuff.
Until the next time. That's so hard.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.